Hi everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Bree.
And this is CSI Talk. Hi everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Bree.
And this is CSI Talk.
Today we are talking about Beth and Sarah's father-daughter relationship.
Yes, we are. But we got some news before. And she had only a couple scenes in the show, but she was recommended for Best Guest Actress, right?
In a minor role, yeah. That would be the special Emmy. Not the prime time.
Yeah. So that is great because CSI as a whole, the original like CSI crime scene investigation, they've got a couple Emmys to their names, which is great. And
I have awards.
Yep. And that TV, the Monico Prize Award for TV shows, they've got that too. And I think CBS should really start a campaign for CSI Vegas.
They should.
I mean, just look at Marvel Studios. They started a freaking campaign for Loki last year. For this year's Emmys.
Well, Loki was not one of the higher rated Marvel shows, I might be.
Yeah, and also, like, they did that with WandaVision too, but... Well, this is a CSI podcast, not a Marvel Studios thing. We talk about Marvel Studios because... We are both huge fans, but we're just like comparing. Let's just set a campaign at least for CSI Vegas. Just saying. I mean, you could nominate it for Best Special Effects, Favorite Drama Series, for, I don't know, Guest Stars or Best Actress, Actor, whatever, just give me something. Just give me something, CBS. But today, as Bree said, we're talking about Beth and Sarah's relationship throughout CSI, even CSI Vegas. So everybody knows that what happened to Sarah, but if you don't recall, let's just give you a brief refresh. Sarah had a traumatic childhood, to say the least. Just put it in lightly. Her mom killed her dad, and then Sarah and her brother were put into the foster care. Well,
the brother is kind of up in the air, depending on which part of the side you follow. Early series, she has a brother, but if you follow later series, it was his foster brother.
Well, whatever it was, Sarah went to Harvard, and then she became a CSI, and that whole thing with Brisson happened.
She went to Harvard and UC Berkeley for a bit, then became a CSI, then met Brisson.
Yeah, and then the whole thing, what happened, might have happened, not have happened in San Francisco. Whatever you choose to believe in. But then that thing with Warwick happened and Sarah got called to go to Vegas. And then she was offered a permanent position in the lab. And then she started working with Brass. Now, Brass is a different story. Brass actually did have a daughter. Not biological, but because the job interfered too much with his life. He and his wife got divorced, and the daughter stayed behind with her mother. But she, like, Brass never really knew what was going on with
Ellie.
And Ellie was just, you know, in and out of the show. She had a problematic life, to say, to put it lightly. Ellie ended up killing Brass's ex-wife.
Old mother.
Her old mother, right?
And Brass said he killed the only person I ever loved.
And, well, the thing with Brass and Sarah, they started to work together. And definitely they grew closer. I think that Brass really started to care a lot more about Sarah when he realized that Sarah had a drinking problem.
I think it, a little bit before me.
Yeah, okay. I mean.
And when Sarah, after the mom blew up, Raft was trying to make sure Sarah not do anything stupid, like almost, you know, self-killed.
Well, last time, Sarah never really listened to that, did she?
Nope. Except after Risen came back around in Vegas.
Wow.
So he mellowed her out and she helped him live.
You know, I really like to think that after Brass got shot, she just started to take care of him. That's most likely when Brass figured out that Grissom and Sarah were together, or maybe before. We don't know yet.
We never will.
Yeah. You know, Brass is not really much older than Grissom.
And yet, Sarah calls Brass old man.
I was gonna make a very dirty joke, but I'm not. But if you go back to, maybe if you go back to the 2 hour CSI Vegas season 1 episodes, I might have made that dirty joke there. But it's really hard to find actors that would have such a good chemistry in the show and out of the show, and they can make that relationship, father and daughter relationship, seem so truthful.
Yeah.
And that happened almost, it felt natural. It felt really natural to see that.
And what is it like that in real life?
Perhaps. I mean, in the probably Fast and for the finale of, yeah, they did this thing, and then I feel like you can see that they actually may have internal jokes between them.
And pulling the leg of Georgie's.
And Georgie said that she really liked some of his movies. And then he's like, oh, is there anyone you don't like? That's really sweet. I feel like Sarah, as a character, she's a queen. She is a queen. She is the moment, you know. She's a legend. She is the moment. And she didn't really need nobody to look after her. But then, yeah. But that's the thing.
Good that she had people to look after her. Everybody actually does kind of need somebody to help look after them. Everybody needs somebody.
Yeah, because that's a really hard thing to do, is to realize when you need help. And she thought she was faking it really well, because her friends who were investigators couldn't really see it. But Grissom is another, it's another story. If I just, if you're giving me the chance to talk about all the dumbass moves that Grissom made throughout this show up until season 7, I'm gonna stay here and tell you everything for like 10 hours straight. But, I mean, Grissom saw it. He didn't really, I think he was expecting Sarah to go and ask him for help. Brass just
came in like a rhino in a glass factory.
Kind of like telling her, not with his words, but something like, I know what you're doing. I've been there. Please stop. And like, what would have happened if when Sarah had that DUI accident, if they hadn't called Grissom, but instead they called Brass?
Brass probably would have called Grissom, saying, meet me at your place. I'm brought there.
Maybe Sarah would have been, I don't know, maybe she would have realized that that was an intervention because she wasn't that drunk. She wasn't that drunk, and maybe they would have given her something to eat, maybe drink coffee a bit, and then they would sit down and talk to her. I don't even think Sarah would have admitted about her past.
No. She needed that argument with Catherine.
Yeah. She needed to grow up as a character, because carrying a trauma like that inside of you and not telling everything, not telling anyone what you went through, and that's what her therapist tried to make her do. Tell someone, and if you don't feel like you can tell your friends, tell your supervisor. And she was trying to do that, but Grissom wouldn't give her an opening. But I feel like if she could easily call Brass up and be like, meet me, I don't know, at this diner. I need to tell someone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, meet me and Frank's. I need to tell someone someone about something that happened to me. And
I don't think she told anybody but Grissom about her past until like after she came back. Or they might have found something out about when she was in the hospital. Because she might have had old fractures showing up, old breaks showing up on her x-ray.
Yeah, but then the doctors would have asked her about them. Maybe
they ask her, but then also ask those around her. Maybe not Grissom, because they might think he did it.
I do know one thing or two about remodel fractures, and the doctors would have been able to look at the x-rays and know when, like, they could estimate roughly when the fracture happened. Because it's different when you have a fracture as an adult, and it's one thing if you have a fracture as an adult, and it's another thing if you have a fracture as a kid. And they would have realized that those fractures happened when she was a kid, when she was very young. So they would have, you know, her boyfriend/husband/partner couldn't have done that because those fractures happened when she was very young. So they probably wouldn't the doctors wouldn't really, because we're talking about a hypothetical, and when she was rescued, let's talk about like when she was rescued from the desert. And they had to do a lot of tests to see what was going on with her. And they probably saw some one or two remodel fractures. But that wasn't their main concern at the moment.
Yeah.
And they would have realized the body language between Grissom and Sarah. So I don't think they would have considered the idea that Grissom might have done something to her. Maybe they would have brought it up like, yeah, we saw those old fractures that she had, and Grissom might said something like, yeah, she had a rough childhood.
There's also mandatory reporting laws in that state.
Well, but were those laws around when she went through that?
Not as a kid, but as an adult. If they saw the age, yes, they would not have to report. They don't have to talk to her, but even with the person selling the body language, you would never know.
I feel like at some point, Sarah may have told Brass about what happened to her.
And we know she told Greg.
She told Greg. She told Grissom, but I mean, after they got a divorce, probably she probably could have told Brass, like, yeah, so this happened to me when I was a kid. The only person that knew about this was Grissom, and now I've told Greg, and now I'm telling you.
She might have told those two at the same time.
Yeah.
She might have had Nick with them, too.
Don't get me started on Nick. Don't get me started on Nick.
Brett and Sarah. And close. Everybody knows Brett started out kind of a jerk. That's
kind of
peachy.
I mean,
most season, yeah.
When he got shot and Allie shows up and she's being treated like a jerk. I mean, she acts like a jerk around everybody, and Grissom tries to make her understand how Brass felt about her. But that's the thing, you know, she grew up without her father.
He was there for her childhood.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, after they got divorced and he moved to Vegas and she stayed behind with her mom. I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate here, but I'm just saying that the team knows a version of Brass that she doesn't. Mm-hmm. They know a version of him that fully supports them, that does whatever it takes to protect them. She doesn't know this person that they're talking about. And she even tells Grissom when she sees the picture that Brass still has of her when she was 6 years old. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, what I'm doing here is that I'm trying to understand Allie's point of view.
Allie's point of view was that she wasn't at it.
Oh, I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate here. I'm just saying that I understand how she was feeling. And
Brass was constantly trying to help her out. And
yeah, but one thing that he probably should have known as a cop is sometimes you just can't help people. Sometimes You cannot help people, not even those who are close to you.
Well, I think, like, in the end, like when Ellie became comatose, I think Brass was always there. That's why he looked.
And I think he blamed himself.
Oh, yeah, he did. Definitely blamed.
He blamed himself for what had happened to Ellie. And I feel like because of his relationship with Ellie was so bad, he didn't want to screw it up with Sarah.
Yes.
So he was letting Sarah, he was probably giving space to Sarah and letting her tell him stuff, letting her come to him to tell him stuff. Like, when she and Grissom got divorced, I'm pretty sure they, she didn't tell everybody straight away, but I'm pretty sure at some point she went to his house and then told him what had happened.
Do you think he was always living in that type of house?
I don't know.
So I don't see Brad living in out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't see it either. Maybe he's lives in an apartment, probably close to the station.
And then he fully retires from everything, and then he moves into the middle of nowhere.
Maybe, and then Sarah just goes there and tells him what happened. And she's probably heartbroken because she still loves Grissom, and he went there and effed it up. And
I don't think she told anybody when it happened.
She probably didn't. I feel like Sarah is the type of person who would have kept it everything inside of her, which I do too, and is honestly not good. But
like, Brisson might have told Brass so he could keep an eye on her.
Maybe.
It never seemed like Brass was angry at Grissom.
I feel like Brass might have told Grissom something like, something along the lines of, you just cannot keep making decisions for Sarah. Because the divorce was one-sided decision.
Yeah, it was. Brass was the person he was most in the middle of it.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, when Brass told Catherine and later Tedder's box that, oh, I know something a lot more juicier than that, Brass probably knew the ins and outs of Grissom and Sarah's relationship because he was close to Grissom. But he was Sarah's
surrogate father.
Yeah.
And then DV happens.
Yeah.
But that's a future episode.
Yeah. I feel like Brass, after the divorce, after what happened to Sarah, I feel like Brass wouldn't pick a side because Grissom is his friend and Sarah is his daughter, but he would have probably called Grissom up and be like, yeah, you really effed up this time, didn't you?
And that's why he doesn't come back until immortality.
Again, because of Lady Heather, but well, maybe we should do an episode about Lady Heather relationships with Grissom.
I thought we already did that.
Did we?
Yeah, I thought we did that a while ago.
We did one about Hatter specifically. Didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I'll leave out all the rest episode, which we probably talked heavy about.
Oh, okay. So go listen to that episode. We had two episodes about Lady Hatter back to back. Lady Hatter's breakdown and leave it all the rest breakdown. But coming back to Brass, and okay, this might be a hot take here. I know we all love breasts yearly. But sometimes the way he got confessions from the suspect, not really acceptable anymore. I mean, they never were, but... Well, I think that was just the reality, right? You know, punching the suspects, you know, intimidated the suspects like that, you know. Not really acceptable. We love Brass, okay? And we all know what he was doing, but that's just not how things should be done. I know those suspects did a lot of horrible things, and they deserved it. They deserve that. But they're still humans. I mean, except if they are rapists. And child molesters on in any type of crime against the kid. Yeah, that's a...
It is. And yeah. Who was Brass's one call when he was almost killed? Sarah.
Yeah. He didn't call Grissom. He didn't call Catherine. I mean, Catherine was just chilling in Ireland, living her best life in Ireland. And I love that Sarah was all like, she was in South America, but Brass...
No, she was in San Diego. She was in San Diego. I was in San Diego. Made the trips here from San Diego to here 6 hours. I made it 5. I just rewatched that episode. So, I just rewatched the first season of Vegas.
And he called Sarah and then he's like, yeah, so this happened. And then Brass is like, and then Sarah's like, okay, say no more. I've already packed everything and I'm already in the car. I'm coming. I'm going to look after you.
Well, you know, she kept her socks up. So, of course, you know, she might have been working in the San Diego lab with Nick doing this time to keep his socks up. And that's probably why she was in San Diego.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they could have called her and be like, yeah, can you help me in this, like, thing here in, like, a case? And then Sarah,
okay,
like,
yeah, probably,
sure.
She's probably regularly doing that. Because she probably had to do a leap few case. She probably have to do, like, a few weeks every month. Every year, I mean.
Yeah, to not get rusty. I mean, she obviously, I mean, we can't. We know from CSI Vegas that she obviously wasn't working in the lab nonstop because she doesn't really fully recognize the new technologies.
But she does recognize some new techniques.
Yes, yeah, so she didn't get rusty. She kept her CSI license up to date and didn't. I just love that scene in which they're preparing the kit, and then Grissom's like, I thought we were sharing, and then Sarah's like, this is my kids.
I know you're not mad at me because you put the gloves back away like it.
Sarah really said, I'm the CSI, you're an advisor, we are not the same.
I like how Max was constantly saying, your husband, you said that.
You know, one thing that I really didn't like about CSI Vegas is how, I mean, I get it, Brass is sick. I know that.
He treats corneal disease.
But does he have to get almost blind?
That's what the disease is.
I mean, I know, but couldn't he get any other disease instead of this one?
Why? What disease would you have preferred?
None. I would have preferred that
he
was.
But they had to make it believable why he was in so few episodes.
I know. But just, I feel like Brass really deserved a happy ending.
Would you rather him being on fire again?
No, by the way, that was a horrible... I'm glad that he came back for CSI Vegas because he getting blown up in immortality was a really bad move.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I like that first scene between Brass and Zara is hilarious. So for instance, I got Sarah Seidel back to Vegas.
I love how Brass is like, "What a view, huh?" And then Sarah's like, "No, start with me, old man."
Old man. And then they talk about how Kathleen's in Ireland with a grab baby and why Grayson is back because he's judging for jellyfish in the Panama Basin. And he jokes about how that's his dream. I searched to get Chuck Book lights on bottom in his boat. He has none or something like that. And then Brass is very standoffish to Hodges.
I feel like Brass never really trusted Hodges.
Never liked him. He did not like any of the lab rats except for Greg.
Maybe because Greg became a CSI.
Yeah. But in the beginning, he did not even, when he became a cop again, he did not even really like the CSIs.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was that either. Like, what was that about? Why was this fight between CSIs and police officers?
I don't know.
Is this a thing in real life? Like, is this for real? Do police officers and CSIs don't get along? Like, if you're a police officer or a CSI, if you work in a lab in this area, can you just answer that for us? Is that a thing? Like, does this rivalry, like, does it exist?
I could probably ask Michael John. He's a former cop. He's a former sheriff.
Yeah, like, because they are working the same thing.
And they're working the same thing. He's a former sheriff from Nevada.
Because they, wow.
He's retired, but yeah, he used to work and be a sheriff in Nevada.
Well, talk about coincidence.
But delete this part from the podcast. He actually lived a couple not too far from his father that he has never met, who lives in.
Wow. Well, so, I mean, any CSI, any police officers, can you answer that for that this rivalry is a thing? Because sometimes it's all a bit forced.
Just like between Brass and the CSIs, not so much some of the other cops, especially when Epley was promoted over them to become under sheriff. That was believable.
Because it's established from day one that him and Grissom do get along despite this rivalry, and then.
They would have drinks in Brass's office from time to time.
Yeah. And then Brass gets demoted, Grissom gets promoted to Brass's position, and then Brass becomes a captain. And Grissom is already a captain, and I don't know why we only found out about that in CSI Vegas.
Well, maybe anybody who's a supervisor for CSI is already. Captain.
Wait. Does that mean that Max is a captain?
Probably. Who knows? We can always, for Max being captain, we could find out from Tracy. Or maybe even Paula Newsom herself.
Is Max a captain? Can somebody that works in the show answer that for us? Is she a captain? Because I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Please, please, Paula, can you answer that for us? Jason Tracy, Anthony Zycar, anyone? Is she a captain? Because I would absolutely love that.
Even Amanda Dillon.
Anyone, really? Is she a captain? Because that would be such a badass move. Like, she was such a badass move. She's already a queen. She could, like, if she is a captain, I would totally love that.
I have much so much she has to play the love interest of Fedra agents enough.
And also, I mean, Catherine was supervisor for a while. Does that mean that she's a captain too?
But remember, she got demoted.
Well, yeah, but she was
and
also the
Sharon.
She was the supervisor for
2.5 seasons.
Yeah.
And then she was demoted, and then she left, and then she went to work for FBI. Then she came back, became undersheriff or sheriff. I think it was undersheriff, actually. And lab director. And then she retired. We'll find out more this next season.
Yeah, because they're already shitty. By the way,
I love her boot.
Me too. Me too. By the way, she also posted like these pictures on Twitter. They're shooting in Vegas. I think she took a picture with the same dancers that I believe so, the same dancers that appeared in episode one of CSI Vegas and season 1. And so they are on the streets shooting the
probably the old Catherine's casino.
Maybe she'd be like, you know what, since she's coming back now, can we please have a dinner party in which she invites Max and her team to just have a dinner party at her casino? Can we have that?
Please. I think Cap comes back if something happens at her casino.
Maybe. But I mean, we thought that would happen in season 1, didn't we? And it didn't.
I knew she wasn't coming back, so I didn't think anything was going to happen at the casino. I knew she wasn't coming back for season 1 because she had a pilot that never got aired, and then she got back to All Rise, which is now showing.
You know what? It would be really, really good if that serial killer that they are hunting just happened to kill at one of her casinos or near her casino.
Or kill somebody who works there, maybe the manager. That would have to be her own down.
And then she comes back in her private jet and then to see
with
what's going on. And then she'd be like, I know I don't work with the lab anymore, but this is my casino. And then maybe she can try and solve this, and maybe Max can offer her a position at the lab again. Maybe. Oh, but I'm just saying, God, it would be so nice to see her name in the opening credits.
And Marg Huggenberger.
God, it would be so good. So
have Brass's credit now. Since George Fox wants you to sign, not gonna have his credit. He's gonna.
Yeah, I wish. So Bree, what are we talking about next week?
The episode Spellbound from season 6, episode 19.
Yep.
I can't wait because my family is close to the Vale.
Oh,